Welcome to our first Our Stories podcast, where we explore the stories of healthcare providers as part of our wellness program at the Winship Cancer Institute of Emory University in the Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology. I'm Caroline Peacock, Manager of Spiritual Health for Winship Cancer Institute and Vice Chair of Wellness for the Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology. And I'm really delighted today to have our very first guest, Dr. Martha Arejano, who's a hematologist, here to speak with me about her story. Dr. Arejano is Associate Professor in the Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology. She's also the Director of the Hematology and Medical Oncology Fellowship Program and the Interim Associate Director of the Division of Hematology and the Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology. My goodness, that is such a mouthful and so many awesome titles. Dr. Arejano, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
In spiritual health, we are focused on supporting staff of all different disciplines in their wellness. And part of what we believe is that when we're in touch with our stories and with our deepest values, we have more joy and wellness in our lives. And so what I wanted to do today is talk to you a little bit about your story. And I was wondering if you can remember, what was it that brought you inspiration to become a physician?
Wow. So my desire to become a physician, according to my mother, started when I was very young. I may have been 5 or 6.
Wow. You knew from a really young age.
Yeah. And I think that the pivotal thing that happened was my younger brother became ill. And he gradually declined and passed away after being sick for about a year, became paralyzed. And he saw many doctors and healthcare workers. Back in Colombia, nobody ever figured out what was wrong. And so my mother says that it was back then that we would talk about how one day I would become a doctor so I could figure out what happened with him.
Wow. So she was able to remember that and reflect that back to you as you grew older and as you dreamed about becoming a doctor.
Right. And so I think that's sort of where the seed was planted, if you will. It wasn't a straightforward path by any means. You know, I was very young then, and we lived in Colombia, and back in Colombia, where I grew up, you in a poor family, poor people didn't dream of becoming doctors or lawyers or astronauts. Education there was, at least at that time, was more practical. They would identify early on what would be someone's career path. And you would get that training in elementary school.
Okay.
And so I was in sixth grade, and I could type 60 words per minute because I was going to be a secretary. And that was sort of the pie in the sky. That was the most that I could dream of becoming.
Wow. And do you remember, did your mom encourage you to become a doctor, or did you see any doctors who were you know, models for you, or was this just something that came out of your own heart?
I think a big part of it was that my mother also always wanted to be, she wanted to be a nurse when I was little. She always talked about being a nurse. And so I think that was a big inspiration in that sense.
Okay.
And so back then, my mom was someone that didn't really accept, you know, what someone told us we could or could not inspire to be.
Wow.
And she figured out how to leave Colombia, how to branch to the United States. Excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. She both she and I, when I was in high school, took a continuing education course at night in my high school and got our certificate of being a medical assistant.
Wow.
Yeah, we did our training together.
Wow,
we
went you to did school it together. Together.
Wow. We did our practicum at a nursing home together.
Mm-hmm.
So we learned a lot about nursing homes.
Yeah.
And she was just that kind of person. She became, when she was young in Colombia, she was taken out of school after third grade.
Okay.
So little girls in that social stratum, I guess you could say, were told to learn how to read enough to be able to cook and take care of a home, take care of kids. And so she was kind of rebellious, and she learned how to read, and she went to elementary school later after she had us.
Wow.
And then in the United States, she got her high school equivalency degree. Then she got her MA certificate, she got a beautician's license, and she became a business owner.
Wow.
So she was someone that, you know, she said she didn't accept the limitations that were put forward for her.
It sounds like she was very inspiring for you.
Yeah.
And that
she still is.
She still is. She still is. So she had a vision for herself and for you that was beyond the bounds of what people would have imagined possible.
Exactly. Yeah. And she so she was a great role model for my brother, for me.
Okay.
She valued education above everything else.
Okay.
She's like, I don't care what we eat, whether in some sense, you know, whether we can pay the rent, but you have to get educated, because education is the thing that no one can take away from you.
That's the thing that you can have with you forever. And you've gone so far in your education, probably, you know, further than she imagined, and very into a very particular field. I'm curious if you ever imagined back then that you would be in this particular field of medicine?
Not at all. Not even in medicine.
Not
at
even
all.
In medicine.
Even though, you know, we said it and we played doctor and it wasn't something that was real.
Can you remember the moment, I guess, in your adult life when that spark became real, and you said, you know, I really do want to go to medical school, and I'm going to submit this application. Do you remember when that happened, or what that was like?
I do. So actually, after all that, life happened, and I got married. I had a wonderful child, but it wasn't after that, after being divorced, that I moved to Atlanta. My mother and my brother were here, and I had my little girl, and my mother said, what do you want to do with your life?
Wow. So after you became a parent, your mother was still inspiring you and saying, what do you dream for your life?
Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
And and I thought, well, what can I do? I had a high school education, and I worked at a supermarket. And my mother reminded me that I could do whatever I wanted.
Wow.
And she said, remember, think back. And she didn't tell me, I want you to do this. She said, think back about what it is that you've always wanted to do. And I said, well, I always wanted to be a doctor, but I mean, it's harder now than before. You know, I made other decisions that I don't think I can be a doctor anymore. And my mother said, well, if you don't try, you're not going to know. And you have me and you have your brother, and we can all help with Erica.
So she gave you she gave you the confidence that you would be able to do it, and the express support that she would be there for you. And so it sounds like then you went to medical school and residency mm-hmm. while you had a young child, which is a huge challenge, I imagine. What was that like for you to come to medical school with a young child?
Well, I went to college with a
well,
young child.
Well, you took college with a young child.
And went to college, to night school, and I spent, I actually was a preschool teacher. I worked sort of, I moved my way from child care so I could spend all day with my daughter and going to night school and then preschool so I could continue to see. I wasn't really willing to trade what I wanted to do for being a parent to my daughter. And so we've figured out ways that I would spend the day with her, go to school at night, and then my mother would take care of her in the evenings, would take her home and have dinner with her. So I think it was pretty perfect because my daughter also learned the value of education. And she also learned a lot of stuff in medical school.
I'm curious, does your daughter, how old is your daughter now?
Today is her 30th birthday.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That is amazing. So today she is 30 years old. You've been a mother for 30 years.
I know.
And you're here talking about the way your mother mothered you and how wonderful that was. It, it feels like a very momentous day for you. So she's 30 years old. I'm curious, does she have some of those same qualities that, that your mother had while she was encouraging you as a child?
She certainly does. She she's an avid reader. And she actually tells me that I should read more.
Oh, wow.
And brings me books. She thinks that part of wellness for physicians should be that they read something that's not medical books.
Okay.
You know, or medical literature.
Yeah. So if you had, you know, all the time in the world, what kind of book would you like to pick up?
Let's see. I like to read all kinds of things. I think history, literature, fantasy. I've even read books about mixed martial arts.
Oh, wow. So a whole mix of
things.
Pretty
eclectic.
Yeah, and it sounds like your daughter is also an inspiration for your wellness.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when I reflect back, if it weren't, she grounded me. If it hadn't been for her, I probably would not be where I am today. I wouldn't be a hematologist, oncologist.
Wow. So she, your whole experience would have been completely different had you not been a parent while you were going through college and medical school and residency and fellowship. And now I know one of your roles is as a as the fellowship director. And so you spend a lot of time with the fellows. I'd love to hear what that's like for you, that that work, working with fellows, because that, that's something that not all doctors like to do.
Right. I think it's I love doing it. I like, even though I'm not on a day-to-day basis, I'm not teaching them necessarily, but I, they come to me for advice. I try to guide them in the right direction. Try to make sure that they get a balanced education. Advocate for them. And so it's never a dull moment, and I enjoy every minute of it.
I imagine that you get really connected to the fellows as you see them kind of go through their very challenging education, and then you they get launched into their careers. And I imagine you probably even work with some people who used to be your fellows even today. You've seen people through.
I think it's exciting to see how they grow from a first month fellow. Shy and a little bit scared because especially some parts of the training, like rounding on the transplant service or the leukemia service. It's the learning curve is very, very steep at first, so it can be intimidating.
Yes.
You feel like you're starting over.
It can be very scary for them to be starting out.
Yeah.
So how do you, I'm curious how you help people gain the confidence that they need in order to do this work.
I think they do it on their own. I think I try to guide them, set expectations. Part of being the program director is sitting with the trainees at least a couple of times per year to check in on how they think they're doing, how can we help them, and then trying to restructure the program, if you will, in a way that we're teaching them what we should be teaching them, and we provide a learning environment where they can learn. And it's a balance. And I don't think we always reach that balance because there's so many demands on our time.
Yeah. Well, sort of in relation to that, in relation to demands on your time, as a doctor, as a physician, you have so many pressures on you in the treatment context, whether you're inpatient or outpatient. I'm curious about the values that you carry in your work and what is important for you to carry with you no matter kind of how much pressure you're on. What are you always wanting to remember?
So what I hope that I can always do is to be able to be in the moment when I'm with a patient, to listen to them, like, to truly listen and not be checking my cell phone.
All the distractions.
All my next text that's coming through. To really make that patient feel like they're the only patient that day.
Yeah.
And I think to do that, it requires a little bit of effort. It doesn't come naturally. You know, even if I'm running behind and I have all these pages to answer, I'm late on this or that, I have to be able to pull up a chair, sit down, look that person in the eye, and make a connection.
I'm curious why that, making the connection, why that is important to you. What is it about their personhood that makes you want to be like that with them?
I think that they're patients put a lot of trust in us, and some patients put all their trust in us, and so we have to, I guess, make sure that we're worthy of that trust, make sure that we earn that trust, and make sure that we always have their best, that we make the best decision. Not necessarily for that patient, but with that patient.
Well, I'm so glad that they have someone like you to, you know, be listening to them and caring for them. It sounds like you have a deep respect for your patients. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
So, one other wondering I have is, if you were to look back on your life, maybe. Like when you were starting medical school, for example, what advice would you have given to yourself if you can imagine your younger self?
Probably to remember why you're doing this. Why you filled out that application to medical school. Go back to those thoughts. And not to take yourself too seriously. I remember when I interviewed for medical school and they asked something to the effect of, if you can't be a doctor, what would you do if you can't be a doctor, if you don't get into medical school? And I heard things like, I don't know what I would do. I would be hopeless. There's nothing more I could ever do. And I think because I did have my daughter at that time, she was six when I started medical school, I said, well, if I can't be a doctor, I'll go into a different field. There's nursing, there's physician's assistant, there's nurse, you know, practitioner. I want to be in medicine in some form, but if a doctor is not for me, I have to take care of my daughter. I have to work.
Do you remember what their reaction was to your response?
I think after I found out that, you know, I did get into medical school, I heard a comment like, you had the most sane answer. You didn't want to kill yourself if you couldn't be a doctor.
Yeah. Well, that probably...
So, things like that are not an option for me. Yeah. You know, my daughter is my life. You know, she always has been.
Yeah.
And it's just not an option.
It sounds like she's the center of your wellness, that she helped you be well then.
Yeah.
She's helping you be well now by suggesting books to read.
Right.
All kinds of things.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
she's a good kid.
I'm so glad that you have her and that you have your mom.
And my mother.
I'm so glad.
And my brother.
And your brother. Yeah. I'm so glad that you had that inspiration when you were young to be here today and to be offering so much care to so many patients here in our hospital system, and also to all the fellows that you're teaching. What a treasure you are here for us. I'm curious if there's anything else that you want to share about wellness or what you think is important in terms of wellness for healthcare providers.
I think it's important to also have something that you do for yourself, something that gives you a sense of accomplishment that is outside. Yes, we all, especially in an academic setting like Emory, we all want to publish, you know, a New England Journal of Medicine manuscript. We all want to, you know, have groundbreaking research. We, you know, I want to one day contribute to finding a cure for leukemia.
Yeah.
You know, but I think there needs to be something that's just for you. And for me, that's running.
So
I took up running. Actually, when I was 40, in my adult.
Yeah, I remember seeing you at a local race once that I was running in also.
Yeah.
That's neat.
And it's something that's just for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get out there and I might have music on. My daughter is suggesting podcasts, books.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's getting me books on the iPhone.
Yeah.
But I think it's something when I finish a race, and if you choose the right race, and like one of my colleagues says, as you get older, you get slower, but you start winning races.
Yeah, because your age
because
bracket,
everybody else
right?
is also slower. Right. Yeah. So, and it's a sense of accomplishment that, you know, other people may not value that in me, but it doesn't matter. I value that for myself. And that's my little treat.
That's so nice. I'm so glad that you have that to take care of your body, mind, and spirit.
Yeah.
All those pieces. Yeah. That's
and
so
I think,
wonderful.
And like I tell the fellows, you have to have something for you. And it can't be a hobby, and it can't be drinking or sleeping.
Right. Something other than those things,
it needs
right?
to be something else.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. Well, thank you for that advice.
Sure.
And thank you for your openness to sharing your story today. You know, being in touch with our stories and our deepest values is such an important part of the work that we do. So I think you've helped listeners here today. So thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.